It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll hear from West Virginia's Public Health Commissioner, Dr. Rahul Gupta, who is leaving his post next month. The region's opioid addiction crisis has been at the forefront of his work in the state.
We're losing about three and a half West Virginians a day. And so in my head, the clock's always ticking.
That's coming up in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. President Donald Trump brought his week-long multi-state political stumping for GOP congressional candidates to Kentucky Saturday night with a rally at Eastern Kentucky University. WEKU Stu Johnson has more.
President Trump has been on the road this week campaigning for Republican candidates in states like Iowa, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and then Kentucky. Supporters gathered in the parking lot of Eastern Kentucky University's Alumni Coliseum before the sun came up. Among them was Bell County's Vicki Hoskins. When asked why she made the trip, Hoskins replied she was there to see her president, adding there's nothing she doesn't like about him.
I like what he has to say that's not in a political way. He doesn't use those terms that a lot of politicians use.
By the time the president took center stage, the arena was filled with some 6,000-plus people, with thousands more outside catching the political rally on a large screen. Before he started talking about the much-watched Central Kentucky congressional race, he hit a home run with his mention of an industry near and dear to many gathered inside.
Some of you will love this, and I'm proud of it. These are great people. It's a great resource when properly used. We have ended the war on clean, beautiful coal.
President Trump touted Republicans like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and fellow U.S. Senator Rand Paul. But incumbent 6th District Congressman Andy Barr was the main topic of discussion and got the most mic time of any Kentucky GOP congressional member. While the rally in Richmond attracted a capacity crowd and then many more, it also drew protesters. John Clinton of Lexington stood near the turn into the Coliseum lot holding a sign that read, "Unlearn fear and hate."
Fear and hate, it poisons the soul and it makes you into somebody that is always angry and is always fearful and is always, I don't know, it just makes you into the worst type of person.
For WEKU, I'm Stu Johnson.
The nation's opioid crisis hit first and hardest in the Ohio Valley. West Virginia in particular has suffered some of the highest rates of addiction and overdose deaths in the country. As the state's public health commissioner, Dr. Rahul Gupta, has been the point person in the state's fight against the epidemic. After 3 years in that position, Gupta is leaving next month. Aaron Payne spoke with Gupta about his time at the center of the opioid crisis.
When Dr. Rahul Gupta started working as West Virginia's chief health officer, his state was already ground zero for the opioid epidemic. That was 2015, and 735 state residents died from overdoses that year. Preliminary data showed there were 1,011 overdose deaths last year, a record high for the state at one of the highest rates in the nation.
Not a day goes by when I'm not constantly thinking about it. We're losing about three and a half West Virginians a day. And so in my head, the clock's always ticking.
After 3 years on the front lines of the crisis as commissioner of the Bureau of Public Health, Gupta is leaving West Virginia next month to become senior vice president of the March of Dimes organization. And reflecting on the fight against the opioid crisis during his time in West Virginia has strengthened his resolve to continue advocating for solutions in his new position. Gupta says the epidemic takes an emotional toll.
When I hear about parents that say that I'd rather have my child arrested and put in prison because that way I know that person will be alive, that's the most heart-wrenching part of this.
Gupta says there are many barriers to treatment, including a lack of resources. But the stigma surrounding opioid use disorder is perhaps the most persistent problem for public health workers.
Half of the country literally feels that it's a disease of choice. Whereas, really, if you think about the science and the changes that happen to change the chemistry in the brain, you're not the same person anymore.
Gupta says the words we use or the false ideas we hold about addiction can prevent us from implementing scientifically sound strategies, such as medically assisted treatment or needle exchange programs. While the data surrounding the crisis is grim, it is not entirely negative. Preliminary data predict overdose totals for the state will rise again this year, but the rate at which they are increasing is slowing down. That shows steps taken by the Bureau, such as expanding access to the overdose reversal drug naloxone and supporting overdose follow-up teams, are working. Another strategy Gupta says he is proud of is the creation of a data profile based on the 830 residents who fatally overdosed in 2016.
We found some very interesting characteristics. We found that majority of these individuals, 8 out of 10, were actually coming in contact with the healthcare system prior to the overdose.
Local health departments say this social autopsy is one of the most important Bureau policies under Gupta's tenure. John Law with the Kanawha Charleston Health Department says it helps identify who to look for and how to connect people to resources they need.
It's a lot easier if you can see the person or the representation of a person. Dr. Gupta was able to allow locals and the state to do that.
Gupta hopes to keep working to combat the opioid epidemic in the Ohio Valley when he begins work with the March of Dimes. He hopes to steer the group's focus toward mothers with opioid use disorder and their babies born affected by opioids. Data from last year show nearly 51 babies out of every 1,000 live births in West Virginia were found to be affected by drugs, the highest rate in the Ohio Valley.
Every baby may cost up to $1 million to the state in terms of all the care that has to be provided in the first few years of life, and we don't even know the long-term impact as of yet.
West Virginia has been Gupta's home for nearly a decade. He worked alongside his neighbors to tackle some of the state's most challenging health problems. And what he learned about the people leads him to believe they will one day overcome the addiction crisis.
People who are the most resilient, that spring back and fight for the right reasons, and at the end of the day are able to bring solutions when we feel that there aren't any.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Orion Strategies, Professional Public Relations, Government Affairs, Creative Services, and Research and Polling, with offices in Charleston, Buchanan, Martinsburg, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. Areas of fog this morning with rain today, highs in the 60s and low 70s. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting.